How about that, Al? What do you mean?
No yang.
Why are you in a bad mood? What happened last night? Why do you have the look on your face? What's going on in your world? Why are you so a little quick, a little fast? What's going
on? First of all, I think I got home 3 hours ago. Okay,
that's fine.
That's number one.
Ah, suck it up. You'll be fine. You're a young man.
Number two, you
can carry it.
Number two, yeah. Actually, you know what's funny? That part's not the problem. The problem is, the hell's going on here?
What do you mean?
And then for you to kind of start the
I'm excited. What do you mean? Of course there is. It's a beautiful day outside. I'm in a good mood. It's wonderful being right, even if it's something you didn't want to be right about in the first place. It's a good day. I'm not going to lie. I'm feeling pretty good. It's just the universe feels like it's lining up for
Travis.
What
do we got, football today. This weekend? What time are the games
there
on Saturday?
There is football this weekend. I don't know about Saturday. Rams pregame show's 10 a.m. Sunday morning. Myself
Saturday.
And Kirk Morrison, countdown
Let's
to kickoff.
What else we have going on?
I don't know. You'll be doing Laker games.
When's daylight savings time? When do we get another hour?
Yeah, we should get on that. They should move that up. I'm going to do the Kramer and just do it on my own, right? Just decide to, you know, today's the day. It's no longer 9:58. We're going to spring forward. It's now 10:58, and I'm going to live my life from that point forward.
All right, real quick before you go anywhere.
Yeah.
So I'm a Seinfeld fan.
Yeah.
I never saw that episode. Kramer moves the clock up.
Oh yeah, he decides Kramer does that. He just does it a couple of weeks ahead of time. He'd had enough of the short days, and he just
That's
moves it up.
That's the greatest thing that I've ever heard. Kramer just decides, nah, this is good. Let's go
with this.
We're
gonna do it. They should do that. The Lakers should do that. Just say, you know what we're going to do? We're just going to move to the playoffs, and we're going to get Anthony Davis back. We're going to stop playing, and we'll just jump forward to the front of the line. Can I tell you a quick story, real quick?
What do you got, buddy?
So, you know I'm a truck driver, and you know that I
everybody
I'm
in LA knows
man.
You're a truck driver.
Right, I drive a Silverado, and it's awesome.
Damn right.
And I love it, everything about it.
You pull up to construction sites just to see all the contractors and the foremen turn their head and say,
yes,
that's a truck driver right there. Yep.
I'm really hoping that no one ever goes and gets the security footage from the 76 station in Dana Point, because here's what happened a half hour or so ago. Okay, so I decide I have a little bit of time this morning.
Oh, this is good. I already like where this is going.
And I say, you know what? I need a little gas. So I drive down to the gas station to
fill up. I pumped gas before the show, too. I'm just throwing that out there.
We're like this. We're connected. Yep. We're of one mind, all of that stuff. And so I'm pulling to the gas station, and there's a spot that I want to get into, only there's a minivan to my left and a little what is that little thing that has like the British flag on the roof? What are those? Mini Cooper. There's a Mini Cooper to my right. And there's plenty of room to go between them and then slide over to the gas pump. But because I'm relatively new at the truck thing, and the truck is a little bit bigger than I'm accustomed to, the cars that I typically drive have been sedans and, you know, SUVs and things like that, I start going between these cars. I'm like, nah, I'm not going to make it. Now, keep in mind.
I'm with you on this. I feel like I'm in the car with you saying, hey, there's another gas station 4 miles down. Let's go try that one.
Keep in mind, there's probably like 4 feet of space on both sides of the car. I have plenty of room, only I'm not entirely confident in where I'm going. So I get about halfway in, and I'm not going to make it. And so I start to back out, only I turned the wheel a little janky, and now all of a sudden, I'm way too close to one of the other cars.
You're stuck.
Right?
You're stuck.
So I get
out of the car, turn off the car. Take the keys with you. Call AAA immediately.
Almost. So I'm having that thing where I'm like, okay, I'm going to have to wait here till the Mini Cooper guy comes back and pulls forward, because I'm a little closer to him than I'd like. But I'm like, no, I can't do that. That's humiliating. Mm-hmm. I can't be that deal. And then I decide, you know, I can do that thing. It's, you know, like a three-point turn. You go left, you back
up. Just real
quick,
before you go any further, can you play Like a Rock in the background, just kind of light? Just play it light.
I was in the Silverado.
Yep.
So I do, instead of a three-point turn, I end up doing like a 68-point turn, like back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, just like slowly backing out of this spot. In the meantime, people are stacking up behind me to try to get into the gas station to go to work this morning.
To give $6 for a gallon. Yep.
That's about what it was. So my manliness may have been revoked this
Let
morning.
Me tell you something.
I may be in a different frame of mind.
Let me tell you something. There's nothing more baller to me than you having a Silverado from Rotolo and then having issues like this on your day-to-day. Like that, I don't know why that's the greatest combination ever heard.
So full tank of gas, the car is in perfect working order, didn't touch a thing, filled up, drove away, and by the time I got back to the first red light, I was feeling like Bob Seger all over again driving my my Silverado. But it was an interesting start to the day.
My first car I ever had, right, was a truck. And it was – just think about, like, how the trucks have evolved. Yeah, small those things used to be. And they were just tiny.
Yeah, they're a little bigger now.
And I'm not kidding. I had a Nissan Frontier, and the Frontiers were tiny. Remember the Tacomas back in the day? These cars were tiny. Like, they weren't that big of a deal to drive or anything along those lines. The Silverado that you're driving right now, I wouldn't know what the hell it is. It's a bus to me. It's cool. Literally, it might as well just be a Greyhound.
Yeah, it's about the same size. I was having that moment. You know, I don't know if you've ever had like an existential moment where you can almost like see yourself through the eyes of another and you're looking at it. And I was that guy where everyone else in the line is going, look at this idiot. Look at this guy. What is he doing? Just go through. You've got 10 feet on both sides. Just pull. And instead, it's like I was like a 16-year-old.
Sweating profusely. Like a Rock is still on. Oh, this is great. I love that.
It was. So that's even with that, I'm still in a great mood, Al. I'm ready to go. See, you're already in a bid. My humiliation made you feel better. I'm glad that you're in a much better spot.
Want me to tell a story too?
Yeah.
Okay, I got a story for you. I'm going to do this, by the way. I'm going to keep, you know, you deflect.
Deflect?
Yeah, you just got, hey, what's going on over here? What's going on over here?
No, don't look over there. I'm over here, here, jazz hands.
Okay, Trev, yesterday I was at the game. I got high yesterday.
What do you mean? Like contact high? Or you smoked? Or you ate an edible? What did you do?
I was at Crypto.com Arena.
Crypto.com.
Minding my own business. Can I give the setup of this real quick?
Okay. Go.
This is an indoor stadium, the whole thing, all that. Okay. The way it works, the media level where we are. So you got the 100 section, and then where I'm sitting, John and Michael are in front of me to the left. Remember that guy, Michael Funches, we used to work with? Remember him?
No.
He's also in front of me as well. To the left is the engineer. And then, you know, from there, still in the first row, I'm in the second row. Behind me is the whole 200 section where all the Laker fans are. Okay?
Okay.
Point of the game, I'm like, what does that smell? Nah, that's, come on. That's not weed. And then I just go back to staring at the box score and Stanley Johnson. Okay? Right? Go back to the game.
By the way, I can picture it. Go ahead. Yeah. That's a very easy mental image for me to conjure. Yeah.
Go right back to the game. Then maybe another couple minutes go by, and I'm like, is somebody smoking weed, like, directly behind me? Like, what is going on here? And then you start looking, and now it's like Billy Mack is turning around. He's saying, what the hell is going on here? John and Michael, I know they smell it too. When I say that, it felt like I had somebody sitting right to my right smoking a J like they were at the Hollywood Bowl and it was Reggae Festival 2022. I'm not kidding when I tell you this. It was as if somebody was right next to me smoking weed. I don't know where the Redcoats were. I don't know if this was.
I was just going to ask, yeah.
Redcoats, I think at that point, were like, you know what? It is what it is. This is a rough game. You're playing the Pacers. Things aren't going as planned this season. You know what? Let's ease the tension a little bit, pass that bad boy around, and just enjoy the rest of your evening. There came a point in the game where I think I got to like midway through the third quarter. You know what? Nachos sound good right now. I think I got that.
Well, of course they do.
I think I have the munchies. I'm not kidding, Trev. Just, you know, think about facilities you go to and everything else. Mm-hmm. It was just kind of comical because there was nobody within a radius of 100 people that weren't just all sitting there saying, who is smoking weed like they're in the middle of the Hollywood Bowl? It's the best way I could put it.
Well, you got to think about what was happening. Like you said, I mean, sometimes when you are experiencing something that you're not enjoying, you're looking at something, you got to be a little anxious, you don't like it, you're trying to take the sharp edges away. Maybe that's what was happening. Maybe people
pass it
were
around
watching
then. Why
the
I don't understand
game last night.
I don't understand the selfishness. Why so much selfishness? That's what I didn't understand.
Well, you got to share. That's just 101 no matter what it is. Yeah, probably what it was, right? It was. You said this morning that this is a new low. I don't know. I just think it's the continued same low that they've been on for most of the season. I get that Indiana's a bad team. I get that the Lakers. I guess they got a shovel and dynamite and an excavator and one of those drills you see on the side of the freeway. By the way, I hate driving by those things. Those giant like drills that go 400 feet into the ground and they make it, they shake the road when you go by. I don't like those things. That's a topic for another day. But this is what it was. The difference is last night that Frank Vogel finally said, you know, enough of this. Enough of this. I'm going to get fired, and it's not my fault, but it's going to happen because that's life in the NBA. I'm the one that's going to pay the price first, but before it happens, I'm at least going to go down playing my five best guys, and he put Russell Westbrook on the bench for the final 4 minutes of the game, and now we are where I thought we would be. Maybe not quite this bad, but
yeah,
it
not
happened.
This bad.
No, this is different. Not this bad.
This is next level.
This is what my expectations were when this deal went down. It just doesn't work. It just doesn't fit. It just isn't a good fit for him. And then hearing Carmelo Anthony, I know we'll hear from all these guys, but it kind of was this is the death rattle of a coach. I got to try everything now because they're coming for me.
But can I tell you something? I mean, for Coach Vogel, from his perspective, Trav, we were having this conversation about a week ago. And then we were having the same conversation. I was having it with Michael Thompson yesterday. I was asking Michael specifically, Michael, who's guaranteed minutes at the end of games? Who's guaranteed minutes at the end of games? You know who that is? That's LeBron James. Nobody else has guaranteed minutes at the end of games. I know this is going to be a big story today that Russell Westbrook didn't play in the final 4 minutes of the game, and Coach Vogel is looking at this and saying, all right, well, I don't really care. I'm going to go ahead and play the guys that I think give me the best opportunity to win, which is actually, you know, the quote from yesterday that he had after the game. I know that's going to be a storyline is, well, where was Russ in the last 4 minutes? Russ was having a bad game. Why do we have to justify Russell Westbrook? We were not having this conversation a week ago. We were.
Come on, Al. No, I know you were, but you can't do this. You can't be surprised that Russell Westbrook getting benched at the end of the game is big news. You can't be. This can't be a throw-in at the end. That Russell Westbrook.
No, I know it's big news.
It's huge news. It's
I know it's
story.
Big news, but that's the reality of the situation. The guy's not having a good year, nor is he playing well. Why does he have to be in at the end of a game? I don't
because
question what Vogel was doing.
Because he makes $45 million a year because he's a former MVP, because he's the third star that was supposed to – that's why. You know the answer to the question.
I get that. He's not LeBron. He's not Anthony Davis. He's not having a good year. What I'm trying to reiterate is I don't have any problem with Russell Westbrook not being in at the end of the game. I don't have any issue with that.
No, I shouldn't be on the team. Never mind being in the game. That's a whole nother issue. But this is a big, big deal. This just isn't, hey, they finally saw the light and they didn't play him at the end of the game because he was having a bad game. He got blown, but Caris LeVert kind of cooked him towards the end, and that was the final straw.
Like, Carmelo was getting cooked, too. A lot of these guys are getting cooked.
The whole team gets cooked on a regular basis. Mm-hmm. That we're here, that it finally happened, that Frank Vogel, who, by the way, not a chippy guy, was a little chippy after the game, it's finally here. We're going to hear from Frank Vogel. We're going to talk about this. We're going to get your phone calls, 877-710-ESPN, on what went down last night, and more importantly, what happens next. ESPN Radio is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. All guests appear via the Goodyear Hotline. All that and more. It's Travis Slee, 710 ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
I can't. I don't think that's – I think you're a little smoother than that, Al.
It had
I don't think you're a little lady guy.
the Frontier had the stripe. Do you remember that? The old
The racing stripe.
Had the stripe all the way across. I'm like, why is this on here? What are we doing? Can I take it off? Is this like a sticker that comes off? Is it not? It was the least, you know how you drive your Silverado right now and you feel like, hey, you're an intimidating individual, even though deep down in your soul you know you're not an intimidating individual.
Shh, don't tell anybody that.
I know. That truck, the Nissan Frontier, was so incredibly not intimidating. Like, to have a truck and it was that truck, it was like it balanced everything out perfectly. By the way, I think we found the culprit.
Oh, yeah? I saw the text as well that did Mace go to the game last night? Is that what happened?
Right behind you guys, that game required weed.
Well, yeah.
Required a lot of weed.
But you said something to me this morning now that I'm like, no, I think you misread that. That can't be right. Indiana Pacers had not won a road game in 2 months.
They hadn't won since November. They hadn't won a road game since November.
Yeah, that's not the team that you want. That probably does take a little medicinal marijuana, right?
November 19th.
Prescription strength.
Or no, November 22nd. November 22nd. Yeah, that was the last. By the way, just to kind of put it in perspective as well, they went through a streak starting December 26th where they lost – again, Chicago, Charlotte, Chicago, Cleveland, New York, and Brooklyn beat Utah. Then they lost against Boston, Phoenix, and the Clippers beat the Lakers.
Yikes.
Indiana Pacers, just to kind of add a little bit to this, the only time you hear about that franchise is they're in trade deadline talks, right? Like every one of their players. Caris LeVert, who had 22 points in the fourth quarter yesterday, he's in trade talks. Domantas Sabonis, trade talks. Miles Turner, trade talks. It's the only time you hear about the Pacers. That's how bad they've been this year, and that's why I say, my friend, yesterday was a new low.
I like that you're going Lee Corso on me all of a sudden. This is fantastic. I like you channeling other people. This is exactly what I've been looking for. Look, it's a weird deal because I was right. I was, and I've been holding my powder back for a few weeks and a couple of months because I have. Al, I absolutely have. How many times have you heard me say, look, he's part of the problem, but he's not the problem. But the fact of the matter is, this is exactly what I told you. This is exactly what I told Mason. This is exactly what I told Flea, who called to yell at me about this. In fact, let's take a quick listen to old Flea, and I wonder if he'd like to have this one back.
I thought it was important for me to call in and express my unabashed and wholehearted enthusiasm for this Laker lineup, and I cannot believe the dismissiveness, Travis, with which you're treating Russell Westbrook. This is absurd, ridiculous, outlandish, and you should be taken out into a public square and humiliated. This is ridiculous. What an exciting Laker team this is. Russell Westbrook is a killer. He's a madman. He's an athlete.
Huh. That didn't age well.
That's fake. that's fake news, bro. That never happened.
Yeah.
I've done these shows with you. I never remember Flea calling in.
Yeah, me neither. I think that when I said, guys, Russell Westbrook doesn't quite understand or doesn't quite have the – understands the wrong word. I'm going to take that back. Russell Westbrook, the way that Russell Westbrook is a great player is because Russell Westbrook has complete confidence in his ability to do anything on a basketball court. And that Russell Westbrook believes that the best way for his teams to win is for him to dominate. And more often than not, he's been right about that. That's not what they needed. That's not what this team needed. What this team needed was shooting. What this team needed was a complimentary player. What this team needed was a lot of things, none of which he was. And now we've gotten to the point where the head coach of the Lakers, who's under fire because the team's underperforming, had to bench him at the end of a game. And this is exactly because he can't quite seem to fit in for a variety of different reasons. But it just isn't a good fit. It's the proverbial square peg round hole, right? It doesn't work. And now the Lakers, basically by doing what they did last night, are saying, yeah, it doesn't really work. And now the players, LeBron, Carmelo, everybody's trying to dance around it, but everybody sees it. And this was the concern from the beginning. This was the concern when we talked about this months ago.
This is why it's different. It's different because not like this. Like when you were making your case, I'm sure part of your case was, okay, I don't think they're going to go win a championship. I don't think that they're going to go, maybe it was more a deep run in the Western Conference. Like, you had your cases of, this is, Trav, this is, nobody could have expected this.
No, you're right about that, Al. Anything, I
didn't
go
problem.
Far enough.
Well,
but the reasons are the same. They're just more extreme. The reasons I didn't like it are the reasons it's not working. It's just actually worse than I anticipated.
The problem with, you know, you could just say the situation for the Lakers right now, it's not just that, oh, hey, they lost another game. I don't the light at the end of the tunnel, if the light is, well, AD's going to come back and he has to be great, like great every single night. And even though he's told you with his play over the last year plus, hey, I'm not going to be great every night. I'm not. You're going to get sprinkles of greatness, but you're also going to get inconsistency. And oh, by the way, I've had a lot of injuries over the last couple of years, so I'm not even guaranteed to be in the lineup all the time. That's kind of what they're depending on. But just to play off of what you just said, Trev, it's one thing to trade for another all-star Hall of Famer and it's not working. It's another level when you're 22 and 23. You're probably going to be in the play-in tournament. If you get out of the play-in tournament, you got Phoenix or Golden State waiting for you. It's going to be a wrap in the first round at this pace.
It's gotten to the point, too, where a guy who's not chippy was a little bit chippy last night. Take a listen to Frank Vogel when he was asked about why Russell Westbrook was not on the floor for the final 4 minutes.
Opted to go with Russ on the bench at the end of the game. What were you looking for there? What was the thinking behind that choice?
Yeah, playing the guys I thought were going to win the game.
Oof. That's look, Frank Vogel, for all he gets the game, right? He gets that people ask questions, he answers questions. Pretty thoughtful guy, he's pretty honest guy. It's very rarely where he's a little short like that. And that type of, and that, look, that wasn't a 10 out of 10, but for him, it was different. And what he's saying is he's not one of my best five guys last night. I need to play my best five guys, and he's not. And it's the first time that's been said out loud. You mentioned it, what, 2 weeks ago? About, hey, look, why, you know, sometimes maybe at the end of the game he shouldn't be there. It's been obvious, but the difference is now the coach is saying, I'm going to play my five best guys, and at least last night he was not one of my five best guys. That's a big deal.
Actions speak louder than words. It's one thing to say what he said post-game. No, he did it. He didn't play the final 4 minutes, right? Like, he didn't. The Lakers were in a game against the Pacers that they desperately need. You're going to go on a six-game road trip, all that stuff that's coming up. It wasn't what he said, even though what he said is kind of powerful, but it's also his actions. His actions were, yep, you sit right here next to me over these last 4 minutes of the game.
Yeah, it's a big statement, but literally and metaphorically, the action and the actual statement itself. Let's go to Lancaster and Ricky. Ricky, you're on with Trav and Slee. What's up, Ricky?
Hi, what's going on, guys? Trav, it's all right. Silverado, you'll make it next time.
Okay. Thank you, Ricky. Appreciate it.
I've been in your corner since the trade happened. It made no sense to me, and now we see it. Cleveland, You needed that last night. You should go find that person that was in crypto.
I was looking. That's
Mason.
Actually,
he's got his number in the phone. Yeah,
that was part of the most frustrating part of it is I didn't know, was there a dealer out there behind me? Like, I didn't have any connections. I didn't have anything. So that was the frustrating part, Ricky.
Completely. You'll get him on the next one. Now my point would be Vogel being, you could say, like you said, a little chippy. That's exactly what we need. That fire, I don't think the fire should be set under him per se. It's more or less on the players, in my opinion. I've been watching the games. I'm as angry as everyone else. But that attitude, he takes that into the locker room. They've got to also feel that. They've got to understand that their jobs are on the line as well, because he's probably going to get cut. But I wouldn't per se blame him. It was the right thing to sit Russell. He didn't have the best night. And also, I heard Emily's banging. People sliding into the DMs. I just want to see what she's looking like, too. That's all I got, guys.
Well, let's thank you, Ricky. Let's be respectful about all of this, right? We're gonna make sure that this is handled in a respectful way.
Wholesomely.
Yes. Thank you, Emily. That's the right word. We're a wholesome show, to be sure. So that's up to Emily. That's how she wants to handle that with her DMs. That is entirely her decision. Al, go ahead.
And by the way,
we jump in.
And Travis and I, just so you know, we filter everything through Emily's social. Like, we are the gatekeepers.
Gatekeepers.
Yeah, right. We're the gatekeepers. You got to get through us first. That's the only way Connor got through. I mean, Connor, there was a The vetting we went through for Connor, I felt like he was trying to get into the Navy SEALs or something. You know what I mean? Like, that's how detailed it was.
But
you know, it's funny. One of the points Ricky makes about there is something, Trav, that I genuinely feel this. You can gain respect from players, or, you know, if you're in a leadership position where that person that is just supposed to get this because of his contract or because of his name or something along those lines, when you pull some of that stuff away and say, yeah, I'm not playing that. I'm in a results-driven business. If I don't get results, I don't have a job. And Vogel's in that position now where it's kind of like, I don't give a you-know-what. If every report that's coming out about Frank Vogel over the last couple of weeks has been about him potentially losing his job, we talked about this a little bit yesterday. Was Vogel the Lakers' first choice when they hired him?
He wasn't the second choice.
He was clearly not the top choice. When other contracts were going out for five-year deals, hey, this is the market. The market is coaches usually get a five-year deal when they sign. I don't know. Remember it off the top of my head. I think Luke Walton got a five-year deal when he went to Sacramento. I'll have to double-check that. It's not like Frank Vogel. Frank Vogel has been the company man this entire time. Hey, whatever you need me to do, I'm going to do it. Hey, you want some input on the assistant coaches? Sounds good. Hey, you're only going to give me a one-year extension after I won an NBA championship? Sounds good. He's been the company guy. Then you kind of start reaching a point, and Trav, I'm sure you've been in a position like this before. If you know you're 1 foot out the door already, that people are basically saying, that if your job at this specific company could potentially come to an end, you might look at 4:30 at your clock and say, when's happy hour? It starts at 5. I'm going to leave at 4:30. You might be approaching your job a little bit differently.
Absolutely. All right. That was Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. With that in mind, Al, is Frank Vogel kind of freed up to do whatever he wants? Because we've all been there. We all know when you're getting ready to move on to the next thing. We'll get into it next. It's Travis Lee, 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code SPOTIFY for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Yeah, right now. Not right now, Maddie.
Yeah.
Not right now, Maddie.
I know you haven't. We've talked about this before. You've never gotten sacked from a job, right?
No, I have applied for jobs and have not got them.
Yeah, that's a little different. I think most of our listeners, I have, by the way, I am firmly in this camp. Sometimes it doesn't work out, and they're going to tell you it's time to move on down the road. And here's the thing. You can feel it coming. You can absolutely feel it coming. It is in the air. The winds start to blow the other direction. It's cold wind, and it's just a matter of
meetings
time.
Meetings are shorter. People are
– or you're not invited to them anymore. sales meeting at 2 o'clock.
Say hello, no eye contact.
Yeah. Yeah,
it's
it becomes very
it's that I just don't care.
Right. And I think that's where we are with Frank Vogel. Not that he doesn't care, but he's at that point like, I got nothing to lose. I'm going to do what I want. I'm going to do what I think is best. I'm going to do what I need to do because I can't worry about this guy's feelings or that guy's feelings or this person over here or that person over here. I just got to do what's best because it's going to come to an end very soon anyway. It felt very office spacey last night where, hey, can you come in this weekend? No, I don't think I can do that. I don't think so, Bob. I'm going to go. I got plans this weekend. I'm not coming in. that's kind of where we are. I think that's what the Russell Westbrook was. That was the, hey, look, the end of the line is here. I'm not going to do it your way. I've been trying that. I'm going to do it my way. Grab a seat next to me.
Yeah, and I kind of make this the best example that I could give here is I'm sure there's some of those players within that locker room. They're probably looking at Vogel saying, yeah, I get it. I understand it. You know, and I don't have to isolate one game for Westbrook because Carmelo was closing out the game and he was getting, you know, he had a good first half, but he was getting demolished on defense. It seemed like Caris LeVert was scoring on everybody. But Russ was having one of those nights. He was 5 of 17 from the field.
Got off to such a good start, too. Got off to such a good start.
5 of 17 from the field. And, you know, one of the things Russ wanted to give the man a compliment, he grabs boards and he gets assists. He had two rebounds yesterday and 3 assists. So it's not like he was doing other things where you had to say, hey, this guy has to stay on the floor. And that's going to be, you know, a big part of the conversation of kind of what you do from here. Russ didn't speak with reporters yesterday, right? Now, listen, I could also tell you when Lakers lost to the Denver Nuggets on, what was that, Saturday night? Mm-hmm. LeBron didn't speak with reporters. It's not uncommon for a player to say, I'm not talking to reporters tonight. But more times than not, they do talk. Do I wish that Russell Westbrook walked up to a microphone yesterday and said, you know what, guys, we just lost the game. I'm not coaching. I don't have a decision on what happens there. Do I wish Russ, at the end of the game, instead of walking off with whatever, 10 seconds left or whatever the case is, stood there and dabbed all of his guys and all that stuff? Of course I wish that happened, but that's not the case. And, you know, obviously Russ probably not happy that he was sitting on the sidelines with Coach Vogel and the rest of the players.
ESPN Radio is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. All guests appear via the Goodyear hotline. There is a change in the wind, too. By the way, I'm kind of curious how people exit their jobs. If people want to weigh in on your last couple of weeks before you knew you were going to get sacked, I'll take that story for sure. 877-710-ESPN. Take a listen real quick here to Carmelo Anthony, because I think this is telling. I think that this is the proverbial wind blowing the opposite direction, because it's not, hey, it was a night. It's one thing. It's not a big deal. This is the beginning of, hey, we got to kind of maybe do things a little bit differently than we're doing before. Here's Carmelo.
It's an adjustment. I think I know what he's dealing with, what he's going through. I've been there before. I don't think it was anything personal, you know, from coaching. Say you subbed them out in 4 minutes. I think Malik came in or something like that. But I don't think it's nothing personal. It's just something that, you know, he's not used to. You would think somebody like that would be on the court. But, you know, with the flow of the game, it's been times where I haven't been in the game or, you know, other guys haven't been in the game. So I don't think it's anything personal. It's just something that we got to help him figure it out.
I don't think anybody thinks it's personal.
It's just business.
This is the ultimate it's not personal thing. And what Melo is getting at is, hey, listen, I was an all-NBA player for most of my career. I was a star in this league. And it takes a minute to kind of wrap your head around the fact that you're not that anymore. He talked about I struggled with that, right? Carmelo Anthony was star in Denver, star in he's a star. He's Carmelo Anthony. He's going straight to the Hall of Fame. So all of a sudden, when you're asked to play a supporting role, takes a minute. And quite frankly, it may take more than a minute. And quite frankly, it may never happen. Carmelo was able to do it. And now we're trying to see if Russell Westbrook is able to do it. The first part of the season, not so much. Because that's what they're asking him to do, is be a complimentary player. And so far it hasn't happened. And instead of, oh, it'll work. For the first half of the season, it was, it'll work. And now it's, yeah, you know, we're transitioning into this other thing. It is just, it really changed last night. I know that it's a bad loss. I know that they're still 500. I know that they're still floating around the back half of the Western Conference playoff picture. But there was a change in tone. There was a change in purpose. There was a change in just the vibe around this team last night, because it's everything's out in the open now. We're not, hey, Russ probably shouldn't play. Russ didn't play. Yep. It's a very different moment this morning than it was going into this game last night.
So, you know, it's funny when you say Russ has to adjust to a different type of role. You know, it's actually, since he's been with the Lakers, this, you know, obviously just this 44 games or whatever the case is, he actually had every opportunity to just play like Russell Westbrook. The problem is he's not playing well. So let me explain what I mean by that. There was a good portion of the season to start off where LeBron wasn't there, and it was Russ and AD, right? And then finally, I think they've only played a handful of games together total, whatever that is. It's 6, 7, 8 games, whatever the case is. And then there was a point in the season where now AD has been out. So actually, Russ, the complimentary player or whatever the case is, that's not exactly the case so far with Russ this year. That's supposed to happen when all three of the guys are there. He's actually had the opportunity this season so far to kind of be Russ, the way Russ was with KD, the way Russ was with James Harden or with Bradley Beal, where there's only two stars. Because the three-star thing has almost not happened at all. The problem is, even with two stars, you're now looking at situations. Last night, as an example, you know what? We're probably better off with Russ on the bench for these final 4 minutes of the game.
All right, let's try a quick phone call here. Let's go to Pico Rivera and Michael. Michael, you're on with Travis Lee. What's up, Michael?
Hey, what's up, Travis? What's up, Stewart? Heard you guys talking about stories about people getting let go from jobs, and if we knew it.
Yeah.
Well, I was once employed with In-N-Out. I worked there for probably about 3 years, and they have a policy where you're not supposed to have tattoos. However, I got hired, even though I already had the tattoo. The guy who was running the store eventually got let go, and a new guy came in. And the moment he seen the tattoo, he gave me an ultimatum. He said, either get it removed or quit. Hmm. And it's a tattoo of my mom's name on my bicep. So I just took it upon myself. I'm like, you know what? I'm not going to do either. So the very next day, I get called into the office, and they hand me my last check. And it wasn't even a last check. It was straight up cash without giving me a real heads up. So I just walked in there.
Just the next day?
Yeah, the very next day.
Did you like take a couple of double doubles for the road or something? Did you get your something?
I mean, you would figure, but that's not the way the kitchen ran. So they basically just brought me straight to back to the office. I wasn't able to get next to the kitchen, like nothing. So they just handed me my cash in an envelope and made me sign a paper.
Michael, why is the guy honking so angry? Can you make eye contact? Can you describe who the person is?
No, my bad. I'm actually at work. I work in a warehouse.
Oh, got it.
I have my AirPods on listening to you guys.
Awesome.
Well,
thanks
we appreciate
call,
you
Michael.
Calling in.
Appreciate
thank
that.
You for listening in.
Yeah, sometimes
I thought he was
know.
In New York City. There were 17 taxi drivers.
Everyone
was honking the horn. He's in Times Square.
Yeah, move, get it. Now, that was
do you remember yesterday we were talking about how you like you want one of the ass sleeves was do you want to see the person who cut you off? And I was like, yeah, I want to see who that person is. I wanted him to kind of describe who that person is that keeps honking, but we didn't get that opportunity.
Speaking of people that are honking, I didn't get a lot of honks when I was trying to get gas this morning, trying to maneuver my Silverado. But TFP writes, I want to know if Trav nods his head or tips his hat when he makes eye contact with a real truck driver or waits for them to do it first. Here's the thing. And let me give you a little secret about truck guys, since I am one. Real truck guys recognize real truck guys. Those guys know I'm not about that life. Now, Slee, I could trick you in that I'm a truck guy, but the real guy that's got the Silverado, he knows that if I can't pull it into the gas station without making a 48-point turn, he knows I'm a fraud. He knows that I'm not that guy.
You know, the first thing that went to my mind when you read that tweet, I'm thinking in my head where you're trying to get the other truck driver's attention. And the truck driver's like, really? Look at this guy. Like, are we really doing this? Either do it smooth, you know, kind of do it like a quick little casual hello, a little kind of salute type of thing. But you're there like waving like this, like way too aggressive. He's like, what are you doing?
I got one too. I've got one too. Look at me. Mine's gray. Yours is yellow. Isn't this great?
Where should I get gas? Where do you guys get gas?
Is there like a special station that I've driven by? Like, is there a part of the community where you guys go to fill up so you don't have to deal with this stuff? I need the handbook. All right, hey, did you see? Coming up next, Travis Lee, 710 ESPN. What do you got for us, Taylor? What am I supposed to see? What did I not see? What have I seen? There's so many things to see.
Well, this is something that you have seen.
Okay.
You saw that our very own producer, Emily, is set to go on a blind date with a listener this Saturday, right?
Yes.
Yep. We'll all be there. 1 o'clock.
So I have a question. Have you ever played matchmaker with friends? And do you think that's a good or a bad idea?
I have not. Well, it's happened where one of my male friends has, what's the proper terminology? Spend time with some of my wife's female friends, right? That this is it happens when you get single people together. This was, you know, this is a long time ago, but yeah, you have moments. But I have never said, "Hey, John, I think you'd really like Maria." I've never put people together like, "You guys should go get that cup of coffee," because it, look, what are the odds that they get married? Low, right? What are the odds that that relationship ends perfectly? Low. I don't need to be responsible for that, Al. I do not need to be Chuck Woolery. I do not need to put people together, Bob Eubanks, any of this. I'm good. I'll let you find your special someone.
All right, so I'm not a matchmaker, but it definitely has happened, and no problem with it. You know, I think a lot of times for people, there is, you know, sometimes there's a wall up or you need a good icebreaker or something along those lines. It's up to those two once you make the introduction. But I don't think it's a big deal at all. I think it's actually, especially if you know somebody and you know a couple, you know what, you guys, if you guys grab the, I think you guys should grab a cup of coffee. They don't want to do it. They don't have to do it. But I some people look at it as like, absolutely not. Other people are like, yeah, let's see what happens here.
I have a story about being a great matchmaker. So at my previous job, at the headquarters of ESPN in Connecticut, I had a friend. It was not a friend. It was a mutual friend that was moving to Connecticut. Yeah. So then I met her and her mom for lunch while she was coming to Connecticut to look for a an apartment. And then when I met her, I was like, my friend Connor would be perfect. So I told Connor, I showed her pictures. He's like, oh, she's way out of my league. I can't do that. And so when she finally moved to Connecticut, I set us all up. A bunch of our friends went to a pool party, and then the rest is history, and they are dating for 3 years now. So good for me, matchmaker.
That's
good for Connor.
I got to tell you this. Connor, your friend Connor, lame. Dude, who looks at a beautiful woman and says, oh, she's out of my league? Dude,
hey, she's really pretty. So
fine. I don't care if it's the most beautiful woman in the world.
You know what?
You don't say, she's out of my league. That's,
you know what he didn't need? He didn't need Travis sitting right next to him when he said that. I don't know if you would have helped the situation out.
I would have made it far worse. Because, I mean, is there anything more passive? Oh, she's too pretty for me. Dude, grow a backbone. Let's go. Go say, hey, she's gorgeous. Let's go do these things. Let's go get that coffee. Emily says we'd be a great fit. Let's go.
Be more like Connor and OC.
Exactly.
Right. Yeah. Connor and Costa Mesa.
Different Connors. What's next, Taylor?
Okay, did you see Daniel Radcliffe is set to play Weird Al Yankovic in an upcoming biopic? We talked about that in the dump yesterday. So, Travis Lee, if they made a biopic about your life, who would play you and how would the first scene unfold?
Well, probably. I like those formats where you kind of start at the end and then you go back to see how we got here. So I think the movie opens with me trying to move my Silverado into the gas station.
Sure.
I think the opening scene is, you know, it's kind of like Meadow trying to park her car at the end of Sopranos, where you just can't kind of get it into that parallel spot. As far as actor, I've been told that Chaz Bono and I have a passing resemblance to one another. So if he'd like to have that role, he could have that. So that's I think that's it. We need to get him in a truck. We need to get him at the gas station. We could start shooting this afternoon.
Okay, so Taylor, I have no idea who would play me.
Stanley Tucci.
Was that the dude you said one time?
Yep. You look a lot like Stanley Tucci.
Right, I can see it.
We'll go Stanley. And the opening scene would be me in front of my TV at age 9. Okay. Magic throwing the ball.
I knew it. I would have
against the Blazers on the other side of the floor. And then throwing his hands up saying the clock expired. That's the opening scene. And then from there there's just ups and downs of the life within the Los Angeles Lakers.
That's
a lot
a good
of ups.
Start.
A lot of freaking ups.
There's some wiffle ball stories, I think, that I'd like to be told in the biopic about Travis. Maybe a little bit of high school. I like my adult life the best.
Could be just a pickup game. And then me just saying,
by yourself with the chairs?
No. Me just saying that's a foul. And the guy saying, I literally didn't touch you. And then the next possession down, that's three in the key, guys. Got to get out of the key.
I like it.
Is that not the worst? By the way, is that not the worst? Pick up basketball where guys are literally trying to call like an offensive foul. I'm like, what are you doing?
It's ridiculous.
There's no such thing.
Emily needs to reach out to the producers and director of that double teamed movie to put together the Alan Sliwa story.
Oh yeah, that'll
we're doing
be amazing.
Basketball movie. We should get the either those are the guys that did Teen Wolf, one or the other. Those are the two greatest basketball movies of all time. What's next, Taylor?
I'm paying to watch that.
I bet.
Okay,
please don't.
Did you see that it's National Cheese Lovers Day?
Mm.
So this is a simple question: what is the superior cheese? The greatest cheese of them all.
Okay, I mean it depends on our application, right?
Yeah, it depends. We had a winery, and it's like
right.
Cheese and crackers, or are we piling it on a sandwich, or
because there's different answers. If we're gonna drink a little wine and have a baguette and sit under a nice pretty tree in a park and enjoy our afternoon. Little brie is not going to be, you know.
Bro, I was just going to say that. Brie,
yeah.
The spreading on there,
sure.
Too.
That's fantastic.
And there are people, I don't understand this. I feel like it's a 50-50 thing. Some people hate brie. Some people
really?
Are like, no, I don't like it. I don't like that you can spread it on. I'm like, that's the greatest thing
that's
I've ever seen.
That's the whole point. Yeah, but
it's like melted and it's not hot. It's the greatest combination in my opinion.
If we're doing like you said, Al, hamburgers or sandwiches, and we're I mean, I'm not going to slap a sharp cheddar out of your hands. That's a great way to start.
Okay, I'll put a stipulation on it.
Okay,
since it's Cheese Lover's Day, it's got to be
yes.
By
pepper
itself.
Pepper jack cheese.
By itself.
So by itself, you know, because it's a little nutty. It melts really well. Like, so if you're doing like some sort of fondue application or you're doing some, a little bit of wine, all of these things, Gruyere cheese, which is kind of, it's French Swiss cheese, basically. It is terrific. So if you're telling me I'm going to eat this brick of cheese with just itself. And by the way, don't look at me like I've never done that, Sliwa. Don't look at me like that's not an option in my
first
life.
Of all, I don't question any of that. I
just
would never
bite in the
any.
Side of a block of cheese. I can see that. Just
I would be lying if I said I've never done that. I have definitely done that. So, yeah, I'll do a little Gruyere.
All right, one time in Oregon, went to the Tillamook factory.
Sure. Yeah.
I'm like, what? This is the greatest place ever. You know, you're obviously watching them put all the cheese together and everything else. And then at the end, they got all the ice cream that's
I was
going to
say, they make
well.
Ice cream
like,
there, too. I hope you got
hell
that done.
What is going on here?
So what kind of cheese? You didn't answer the question. What's the cheese? Cheese.
Cheese by itself?
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know if I understand the cheese that you were just saying. I don't eat cheese by itself. Like, usually
what?
It's always, like, with something.
Oh, my goodness.
You don't eat cheese sticks?
This is like the village
all?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
All over
you,
again.
You could do that. You know what? Actually, let me say this. Mozzarella. By
sure.
Itself,
yeah.
That's a good little selection right
little,
there.
Little like marinated mozzarella balls and a little in oil and stuff. Have you ever had that?
Those
before,
are
too?
Terrific.
That's amazing.
The little bit of tomato, a little bit of red wine vinegar on there.
Taylor, what's your cheese?
Pepper jack all day every day.
That's a really good choice. Because that goes a lot. That melts really well. It goes on a sandwich. It goes on a burger. You can have a little slice of it. You can put it on a cracker. That's second best degree air. So that's
I'm pretty
good work by you.
I'm pretty lactose intolerant, so I have to be a little wary with my cheeses. So I always have to pay for it in the end. You know.
Yeah. Okay. That's enough of that.
Hey, we're all a little lactose intolerant.
Yeah. I guess. All right. One decision can change your football team's fortune. Look at the Rams. Look at what they did 5 years ago. Can the Raiders do the same thing? That's next. It's Travis Lee, 710 ESPN.